Hockey.
Science.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, Carl. How are you?
Good, good.
are you okay? You got something?
Okay, just because I was going to start off by saying I wanted to thank every single person who listens to this podcast.
Yeah, and there's
I wanted
actually
to extend
bit,
our gratitude.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. Word's going around and it's getting picked up by a few people, and it's quite nice to see. Feels good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very, very much.
Very much. Appreciate it. Let's talk hockey.
Let's do it.
I want to talk about 1, 2, 3, 4 different teams.
Yeah,
I want to talk about
now.
Teams that are now picking up their golf clubs, getting their memberships renewed, and talk about eliminated teams. I want to talk about what happened, but mostly what's missing and how could these teams get better. I want to start with the first team that got eliminated from the playoffs, and that is the 0-4 Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
What do you think? What happened?
Because
they weren't truly outmatched, right? According to Corsi, according to Advanced Stats, they were in the game. They were in every single game. Not only were they in every single game, they pretty much led the entire series, except when it counted, which is the last second of each game.
Yeah, I think, watching the game, the fourth and final game, and all of the announcers were sort of mentioning that up until the start of that game, or up until that game was played, game four, Anaheim had only led like almost 12 minutes, in total of the first three games. So that's not a whole lot at all. Winnipeg, they lost a few really, really close games. Obviously, game four wasn't really all that close. Anaheim sort of pulled away from them there at the end. I think when you just look at their goaltender, when you look at Pavlik, this guy, he had an .891 save percentage and a .373 goals against. And I
Not
know
great.
He had a pretty good year, and he and Hutchinson were great stories for them. And you sort of thought that maybe they had this goaltending situation.
They were great stories because they were surprising stories, though.
Yeah, well,
that's why
the
they
thing.
Were great. They were like, oh, my God, they're actually stopping the puck. They're not letting in that soft goal every single game. Let's give him a hand of applause.
Yep.
Because you don't suck as bad, sorry to say.
Yeah, and going into this series, I think if you said, do you really trust this guy in net? Pavlik, that is, no one really is going to say yes, are they? So if he had more like his regular season numbers, which was a .920 save percentage and .228 goals against average, maybe you squeak out one or two of those really close games. But it's not all on him. I think, credit to Anaheim and credit to...
True, but that's what I was going to say. One thing that I found really interesting was the reasons why people were picking the Jets to win this series over Anaheim. Was it because they thought the Jets were good? Or was it because they thought Anaheim was going to choke again?
Well, I think it's both of those things, but I think there's also a third sort of, factor that we can add to that, which is, it's such a great story, and I think a lot of people just got caught up in that.
Because of the fans?
Yeah, and also just Winnipeg, man. Like, they're a pretty likable team, right? I think unless you're
playing them,
perhaps, in that division, if you're like a Minnesota fan or something like that.
Unless you're playing them.
Yeah, then... but I think if it just like being a hockey fan,
True.
I mean, because I think a lot of people are, I think a lot of people aren't, but I do think a lot of people are sort of, hockey fan first. And even though it hurts, when your team loses and you say nasty things and, you know, it's hard to be totally objective. Like, in the end, deep down, you're just a hockey fan, right? And you can watch these other games and really appreciate great players and teams.
And they play a very exciting brand of hockey.
Yeah, they do. And they're big and they're strong and they're fast. And so I think there's that. Yeah, also Anaheim, you know, like we said many, many times, this is sort of, you know, is this really a good team? It looks like we were pretty wrong, or at least I was wrong, because I sort of called them a fake good team many times on this podcast. But I think it's also just the story, right? It's everyone kind of liked them, and they sort of wanted them to do good. And who likes the Ducks? Nobody likes the Ducks.
Exactly, because of, I was going to say because of the players on the Ducks.
Mm.
Not exactly the most likable.
No, they're not.
Type of hockey players.
No, Corey Perry
has... I'm not talking about off the ice. I'm just talking about on the ice play, right?
Yeah.
But what was interesting about the reasons why, the reasons you gave to support your argument of a good bad team or a bad good team, whichever one you fell upon, was because they won so many close games, and it looks like I was on board, by the way, with you. I totally agree with you, but it looks like that's what got them through this series, is winning all those close games. And in some ways, I guess that's what playoff hockey is. If you're doing it all year, you're used to it.
Well, I think also, though, what I was getting at is they came from behind a lot.
That's and true. Yeah,
like, you can't do that in the playoffs. Like, what's going on with Calgary, and I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit later or down the road now that they've moved on as well. But it doesn't – no team, I don't think, has really ever won the Cup by constantly just coming from behind. Like, eventually you have to get a lead and hold on to it, you know, and that's sort of – what I was wondering about Anaheim, and also that, you know, they had, I think, 9 or 10 shootout wins as well. And so, yeah, I just didn't know how good they are, but yeah it turns out they're pretty good. So
it'll be interesting what happens. Maybe not the next round, because they're going up against Calgary, but definitely the conference finals.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And I did. I thought Anaheim would win, but I didn't think it would be like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I really thought it'd how be could much you more picked? Of a series. Yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with the Jets? You were saying goaltending. So I'm just going to give you some names, some UFAs on the market coming up to see if any of these would be a fit for the Jets. I've got San Jose's goalie right at this particular moment, Niemi.
Yeah.
I've got Victor Fast, Kerry Ramo, Braden Holtby, Jonas Gustafsson, and then it sort of dies down here. We got Budaj, Brizgalov, Greece, Emery, Legio, great story. Newvert. Michael Layton, Jonas Enroth, and David Dubnyk, and Rob Zepp, one of my favorite goalies out there. My favorite.
Yeah.
I think you've
still, you just named all those names, and you really only named one. Which is Braden Holtby.
Braden Holtby, of course, he's going to get re-signed. Yeah. Right?
But, I mean, exactly. He's not going to go anywhere, yeah. I'm sure. But
Niemi, would Niemi be a fit?
But I don't think, in the end, I don't think he...
He's won a cup.
Yeah, but he won a cup on that Chicago team.
The most wonderful team that year.
You know, and I don't... You know, he's had a bit of a trouble kind of winning big games in San Jose, and he hasn't really been good for them, and I can't see him being great for Winnipeg. Maybe he's a bit of an upgrade on Pavlik, but I think that's just a very slight upgrade. That kind of feels a little bit like a lateral move, you know?
So they're not going to get off the UFA then. They're not going to get off the free market then. They're going to have to pay for it.
They might have to, yeah.
Unless their young goaltender can make it happen next year.
Yeah. Neuwirth would be possibly okay.
27.
I think I would trust him a little more than Niemi. But I also, I'm just not a Niemi guy. Like, I just don't like him, you know?
But he's one, though. Neuwirth isn't.
Yeah.
Right? He couldn't run with the ball in Washington. He was given a chance. Holtby took it over. He couldn't run with the ball against Enroth. in Buffalo.
Well, I don't know if you can really trust the goaltending situation there.
True.
You know
true.
What I mean? Knowing what they were doing all along. I don't think they're going to be, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I didn't
that's
watch
true. Okay,
every,
I'll
every
go,
Buffalo
I'll
game,
go with you yeah. on that one.
Yeah.
Just, so, but then it goes down to if Niemi's not a fit, then you got to find some other way to better that position. Yeah. And
I mean, look, I don't think Niemi's going to let in that 1.5, you know, bad goal a game. But what I'm saying is just in the end, when it comes down to getting into the playoffs and getting into the, you know, or actually playing in the playoffs, Niemi isn't going to be your guy. He's not a big game player.
Then it's just to continue this course of action and just keep going with the youth, keep developing your players, and make it happen maybe with their young goalie right now.
Yeah, and the thing I think that with Shevoldayoff, their GM, is that, you know, he's actually been really patient, and that sort of paid off. This guy was really, really criticized for doing absolutely nothing. You know, not making a single
trade. Well, he was criticized by myself because it sucks to watch a team do absolutely nothing for a year.
Yeah, exactly.
And not make
and especially when you know exactly what the problem is, right? But, you know,
Of course, he was right. Yeah.
He was right about the team. He's not right about the goaltending. And that's been shown again and again and again.
And it's kind of interesting.
And it got better this year, but in the end, it wasn't good enough in the playoffs at all. 891 save percentage is bad. And I know, really, you know, bad. And Pavlik was good. There were games where he was really good. There were spurts, you know. There were 5-10 minute, this time within the game, within a
the
period.
The 40
where
saves
really
in a row
good.
Kind of thing, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it just, that he's not your guy, and you got to move on or find a way to move on.
Well, maybe it's their young goaltender then.
Yeah, it could be.
I think they don't have much of a choice right now. They've made a big splash with that trade, with the Evander Kane trade.
And that's good for them too. But you know,
at
the same
time,
it did work out really well. But at the same time, like you're getting two guys that aren't going to get it done this year. You know, what has Tyler Myers ever done in the playoffs? Let me think about it.
That's
nothing.
Yeah, what has he done? He hasn't been in the playoffs.
Well, that's what
though,
I'm saying.
Right?
And so, you know,
he's still signed for at 5.5 for the next 4 years.
And
so
that's what
still
I mean.
A pretty good
you know,
deal.
Moving forward. That those are great, great moves, you know.
Their D is not so bad. Like, Mark Stewart's rock solid back there.
Yep.
And, you know, they've put Byfuglien, who's received way too much criticism for his play in the playoffs. He was just trying to do it all. That's all. That was his problem. He was trying to do too much. And he was getting frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. Well, that's the thing, too, right? It's I think when you're losing such close games and you're sort of, at the same time, you know, it's got to be frustrating too, knowing that like we're playing really well, we can't really play that much better. You know what I mean?
And also, we're winning,
yeah.
And then we're not.
Well, that's what
and
I mean.
Then
like,
we keep on winning, and then we're not. The one thing they do have on the D side of things is the young fella called Jacob Trouba, who is just a rock star.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that Emerson Edom goal in Game 4, where he sort of got turned inside out.
That wasn't good, but
yeah, but he's man, yeah. I that kid's a lot of fun to watch. I think he could be sort of a Duncan Keith type player in a few years.
You think he's got the wheels to go Duncan Keith on him?
Don't know if he has the wheels, but I think he's a heady player, and I think he's that skilled. And I think the drive is there, right?
I just like the
I mean
fact
that's
that
something
he's
with
square.
Keith and you saw Keith today, that game winning goal. That was him saying, you know.
He's another Niedermeyer.
Well, he is, and that was him. And you look at that team, and they got a lot of great leaders. But that's him just saying, you know, Taves, Hossa, you know, Seabrook, Kane, all you guys just sit back. I got this. You know, it was just, I got this.
Okay, so that's the Jets. Probably keep course, not do much in the offseason. There's not much to acquire for them. So it looks like the best course of action seems to be trusting their scouting and trusting their youth to develop into the players that they need.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have the let's go with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep.
The team that every single person in the hockey world hopes buckles and goes with the biggest knee-jerk reaction and starts selling off everything and everyone and just goes nuts on the open market.
Yeah.
Of course, it's probably not going to happen. They just came out today saying that we're not touching our GM or our coaching staff. But they only signed these guys for a couple of years. And if you sign a GM for a couple of years, he's not going to be thinking long term.
What's today's date?
It is right now Sunday, April 26th.
Okay, so we'll see how they we'll see what they say in June in about Korea. Their coach, because there's no way that guy comes back. There are so many good coaches out there this summer. If you come back with Mike Johnston, then you just deserve the same fate next year. Sorry.
They also said I'm sure not he's going not a horrible coach,
but he's just he's not the guy. He's not the guy to get it done.
They also said they're not going to be touching their first two centermen, their top two centermen, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, look, you got a plethora of prospects on defense. Maybe you can do something with that.
They keep trading him away, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think I didn't really like that Dupuis for Lovejoy trade at all. I think they gave up on him way too early. But, you know.
But they needed something now. That was the problem, right?
Because but they did, because that's the
because
thing.
Because Letang gets injured.
Erhoff fell off the wheels. That turned out to be, you know, that kind of relationship didn't, you know, it was good in the beginning. It had its moments, but with Erhoff, that didn't really work out. They call it the
best UFA signing from last summer, though.
Yeah, it was kind of a steal, right? Because everyone was just thinking he's going to Detroit or possibly somewhere else, and then the Pens just sweep in 1 year. What was it, $4 million?
Yeah.
Early on, he was good for them. But
It's a win-win situation for the Pens on that one.
It was, yeah.
And
yeah.
For himself, too, because he had such a bad year in Buffalo.
Yeah, but I don't think he did himself any favors this year. He's not hitting that $6 million pay grade that I think he was thinking, I'm going to go there and just...
He's
pop
gonna
in
have to
a bunch
sign
of points
one year
on the power play.
Else.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
They do have some. I mean, they do have some talent on the D side of things with Letang and Mata, especially. And you're right. They do have, I think, two or three blue chip prospects in their farm system. But until they hit the big time, you don't know if those will come through, and you don't know if your GM's going to start trading them away again.
Yeah.
Because he's traded like two of them already.
But who do you trade on that team? Because, you don't want to trade Crosby or Malkin. And now you've got Sutter. You don't want to trade him. This guy was the best player for you in the playoffs.
He's only signed next year.
And
that's
And he's turning into a heck of a player for them. Yeah. So who do you get rid of? You get rid of Kunitz? What do you do? I don't know.
What do you need first?
Well, you need someone like that. You need Kunitz. So are you getting
Kunitz
rid of him?
Working because he wasn't working this year.
Well, yeah, and last year he was real good. Or was it last year? The year
it was
before,
last year. It was amazing.
Yeah, last year. But he's had a few good years for them.
He made the Olympic team because he was so good with Crosby last year.
That's right. Yeah, that was last year. And even the year before, he was good for them. So that's what I mean. I mean, do you trade that guy? Who are you getting for him?
He's been the only player who's had the capabilities of playing with Crosby in his entire career.
So what do they trade up front? They've got nothing to trade up front. You know,
they
you trade wingers. You trade David Perron for who? For what? That guy's not. He's not bringing in a huge pull for you.
Well, they gave up a first rounder for him.
And how'd that work out?
That was almost a lottery pick.
Yeah.
They didn't make. Exactly. They almost didn't make the playoffs.
Oh man, that would have been great. So anyway, whatever. I mean, look, we're obviously not insiders here, but I don't think you go with that coach again. Maybe you got your GM there for this kind of stopgap year. But there's some coaches going to be available this summer. So why would you stick with Mike Johnston? Why? What for?
I agree with.
I mean, right now they should be on the phone with Todd McClellan. You know, right now. I mean, that guy's going to Edmonton,
Well, he's being courted by Edmonton right now.
Well, no, but that's what I mean. He's going there. He's going to talk to them. He's going to listen. And he's going to, be wine and dine and all that. And so if you're Pittsburgh, you got to do the same thing,
He's going to get some bank.
Oh, man. He's a good coach. He's a real good coach. Anywhere he goes, he's going to make that team better for sure, without a doubt.
So... They're saying that, and I kind of agree, of course, because it's kind of obvious, but they're saying that Pittsburgh lost this series mostly because of their depleted defensive core caused by injuries. Now, Is it time to start bringing the young kids up? Will they be able to handle the minutes? If not, they're going to need some help back there. Yeah. That's number one. Number two, Fleury, fine.
Yeah.
He's back. He did a really good job this year. He had a great playoff. He is the Fleury that should be on this team, leading this team. He's signed for 4 more years after this year. He's golden. Mm-hmm. I mean, he might fall back, he might falter, but you know he can do it. You know he can come back, and he's fine. You've got Malkin and Crosby as your top two centermen. They brought in Patrick Hornquist, who did quite well as a top right winger on his team. But your second right winger after Hornquist, it goes down to Steve Downey or Craig Adams. Do you know what I mean? Officially.
Yeah.
Pascal Dupree spent some time there also, but he's been injured. He hasn't played an entire year. If he comes back, things change a little bit up front. But they need some help up front also. So they need help up front. They need help on D. And it looks like Fleury is back and they'll be okay there.
Yeah.
They'll need a better backup than Greece, though. Or Grice.
Right.
So they got a lot of work. A lot of work. For a team that has Malkin and Crosby and Letang on the back end and Olli Mata coming up, it's a team riddled with holes.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. And I mean, everyone's talked about this before. I mean, this was a team that was just supposed to be there every year for the next decade, you know, and win multiple cups. And now it's like one day someone's just going to write this huge story on how they just blew it. You know, like, we're going to read that in 5 years, you know, or in 10 years. You know, we'll read this massive story that some great writer puts together, and it's like, yeah, these guys blew it. You know, let me tell you the story of how they blew it.
They were so there.
They were. They were.
They were there 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and then...
And Crosby was still rocking, like, and they were still getting tons of points. They were still playing well.
Yeah.
But the thing that happened is they got injured. And then they all got injured at different times. Fleury lost his touch somehow.
That's why I say you don't keep that coach. And it all happened at different times. That's what I'm saying. Like, Pittsburgh is certainly no stranger to these injuries, right? And being really decimated by injuries. It's not like just, you know, you got a couple guys out. I mean, they've had a lot of people out a lot of the time over the last few years. But, you know, remember when Dan Bylsma had that year where they were so depleted, their lineup, and yet Dan Bylsma, he just kept...
The Crosby got the right, concussion that
was, when he was out. Yeah, had the concussion, neck problems.
Problem.
And what did Dan Bylsma do? He just had his team keep winning. They just kept winning. And so I sort of feel like, maybe you got a little bit younger team. The personnel is a little bit different there. But, you know, Mike Johnson, I just don't feel like really accomplished anything this season at all as a coach. And so I don't know why you bring that guy back. And like you said, yeah, this team has a lot of holes. I don't know where you start, but I don't know what's in the pipeline for them as far as forwards. But
it's not close to anyone who's playing with Crosby and Malkin.
Well, no, right? I'm saying like as far
who's
as
playing with them, you
know,
or saying.
Using that as a piece for a trade, or I just... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what this team does.
They already traded James Neal, a guy who could play there.
Yeah. And I've seen this thrown out there a bit by a lot of people on Twitter. I mean, it's not just one person. Right. I've seen this a lot. Just offer sheet Brandon Saad, you know? That's exactly the kind of guy you need on your team, you know? Yeah. So
but
go
Chicago,
for it.
Chicago is just going to match.
They'll match it, but they're going to be in trouble for matching it. Because next year, everything kicks in for Taves and Kane. You're already going to have to get rid of a guy like Sharp.
They're going to fix that by getting rid of Sharp. Right?
But that's what I mean. But then if you offer Sharp a guy like Saad,
it's going to bring him back.
It's going to put him in, you know, who else? They're going to have to get rid of someone else, right? So
best case scenario is it's going to put him back close to close to cap trouble again. Yeah.
So that's what I mean. So why not do it? Why not do it? Because
why don't more teams do it?
Well, that's the thing. I understand not doing it, you know, in your own division, right? Because chances are that team is going to offer or match that offer. And then what you essentially did is you just guaranteed this guy on this team for the next 8 years. You know what I mean? So I understand. Yeah, I understand the theory in not doing it. But when you're in two different conferences like that, it's so blatantly obvious what this team needs. Go for it. Go out and get that guy. Because you don't have that guy right now at all. And instantly, this guy's better than Kunitz on your team.
That was a great draft.
He's just exactly the guy you need. Yeah. And it's a good story, you know, because like he's a Pittsburgh native. You know, the Pittsburgh guy comes home. He brings a ton of experience to that team. And Brandon Saad, man, like this guy's turning into a really good player.
Good pick.
Yeah.
It's not too long ago, too.
No.
So, yeah, lots of work. They still have the best, some of the best players in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
A very good goalie, but apart from what they got in the farm system on D, they don't have really much else of great worth.
Yeah, and Letang's health,
of course, they got talent.
You know, is a thing too.
Yeah,
Letang's health.
I hope
is a
he
factor.
Does well. He's a fun player to watch. Yeah. He's a really fun player to
yeah,
watch.
Yeah, I really. You wish that guy the best. You want him to come back. You want him to be strong. If he comes back and he's healthy, you know he's going to be good. But you just, you know, it's a little scary with some of the things that he's been through. So, yeah.
I'm sure he'll do what's best for him. I'm sure. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Next up, let's talk about the Nashville Predators. And my question to you, they are now out. Is this a successful year for the Nashville Predators, or is this a complete disaster for Nashville Predators?
No, it's certainly not a complete disaster. I think it's a successful year. I mean, this team established itself as a really, really good hockey team.
And little again, problem, though.
And as you said, this isn't your daddy's Predator team, right?
True.
This team can score, and they lost two very long overtime games in this series.
They could have had this series.
Yeah, and so, and they're playing, you know, they're not playing a Winnipeg, you know, they're playing Chicago, which is still, I don't care who finished where in the regular season, this is still the best team in the West right
now. And
they're
not a team to
beat. You know, I mean, with LA not in the playoffs, they are hands down the best team in the playoffs, East or West. So it's certainly not a complete disaster at all. I think you got to have a success here. They won a lot of games, and they score
a lot.
And a
very fun team to watch also.
And there's a lot to build off of this year.
Big fan of Seth
Jones. Fun team to watch. And Seth Jones became a man in this series.
And they missed Shea Weber.
That hit he had on Saad today, he was so good for them in this series.
He came back, though.
Yeah, and you had Shea Weber out, and you had Mike Fisher out. Who's a really great two-way forward.
But I'll say Nashville has a lot of work to do in the offseason. Their top two centermen are UFAs this year. Mike Fisher and Mike Ribeiro are both UFAs. Matt Cullen is a UFA.
Well, Fisher's not going anywhere because his wife won't let him. So if he has to make less money, then she'll just, you know, cut another album. You know, so
yeah, apart from that, everybody else is an RFA. So they've got some money to spend. Shea Weber's cap hit is looking better and better every single year. It looked pretty bad when he signed at 7.9 basically a year. But now with guys like Subban signing at 9, that's going to be the price for those kinds of defensemen, the true number one defenseman on your team. They're going to be making 9 now.
Mm-hmm.
And so Shea Weber is now making $1 million less than PK Subban.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, I mean, not to repeat ourselves here, but, you know, what Pittsburgh was saying is, you know, we just had a depleted blue line. Nashville can say that too. I mean, Shea Weber is, he's just that good. He's that good, and he's that good of a player, you know? I mean, that hurts.
I agree with that, and I was just going to support that by saying the difference is I think Nashville probably has the best defensive core in the league this year, and pretty much the same players are coming back next year. And the year after, and the year after that.
Yeah, now you've got, you know, hopefully Seth Jones, this is the step. You know, this is the step into the next stage of his career where he just...
He played some minutes.
And man, he's actually like... His skating is a thing of beauty. That kid can skate.
Big.
Yeah.
And he can skate.
Yeah, and he's getting a little tougher too, right? Like he's...
Well, he's getting bigger, right? Yeah, that man's race coming in.
Yeah, so... So yeah, I would say this is a successful year. I think you got to keep your head up, chin up, Preds. You know, Lavalette did a great job for them.
He coaches, but
you know, James Neal is a big time player for them.
That was a good pickup.
And as you said, you know, their blue line is stacked. They've got a really good blue line.
They got Shea Weber, Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, and Seth Jones in their top four.
Yep,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The whole thing is costing them something along the lines of like under 15 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those four players.
Yeah. And then you got Rene. I mean, Rene's still got a few good years left. So he's getting older.
Rene's great.
You know, older.
Yeah, still.
But, you know, like I said, I think just, you know, they went to five overtimes, right, in those losses. I mean, you lost the first game, game one, in double overtime, and then that one in triple overtime. So yeah, this thing could have really gone either way, but you know, as we said, it's Chicago, and when Keith scored that goal today, talking about Seth Jones, I mean, Seth Jones was up on the point and he stuck with him for a while, but Keith just waited it out, moved to the right, moved to the left, just found that space, shot it in there, and he just had
that kind of one hand favorites.
He didn't have two hands in the air, right, with the stick. It was just the one hand. It was the one hand in the air. When you put your one hand in the air, that's when you're feeling it. You know, it's just like I said, man, he's just like, I got this. I knew it.
I got this.
Don't worry, guys.
Chill out, guys.
So, yeah.
But that's one team that won't get rattled, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, John Dutte's got rattled last year, but that's abnormal.
I would look at the playoffs right now and I would say that is the only team that will not get rattled.
Well, they're the only champions now. In the playoffs right now, they're the only champions. They're the team to beat.
That's crazy.
They're the team to beat now. With LA out, officially, Chicago is the Stanley Cup favorites. They're basically the Stanley Cup champions, 1 year removed. But they're basically defending their title as Stanley Cup contenders as a minimum.
Yeah. I mean, they were one goal from the final last year.
Last team we need to talk about today is the most recent team to be eliminated, the Vancouver Canucks, who have lost in six games to the Calgary Flames, who are defying all advanced stats, all Corsi, and keep winning. So let's talk about the Vancouver Canucks. They're getting older.
Yeah, window's closing.
Closed?
Yeah.
Yannick Weber is playing mad minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I mean, when I say closing, I mean, it's just, it's not in regard to a championship team. It's just in regard to like being a good team and making the playoffs consistently.
They do have the Sedins.
But that's what I mean. That's the window.
That's
what they have. You know, Bo Horvat. Yeah, he's a good player, but I don't. He's not the Sedins. He's not ever going to be the Sedins.
Is he a number one? You know?
No, not now. And that's, you can't see him as that anytime soon. But maybe he grows into that.
Zach Cassian is such a letdown.
Yeah.
He's such a letdown. Yeah.
But how about just...
I mean, it's not an easy thing to play, but like it's just like, for all the size, the potential, the mean streak he's got going for himself, and he does have talent. He does have talent, and yet just can't seem to put it together consistently.
And before we even get into all that, like just that game today was insane. That was so much fun watching
that game.
That
was one of the most exciting games thus far.
It was so much fun. Amazing atmosphere. A great game.
If all you did was look at the ticker, you would never have gotten the feeling of what's happening.
Yeah, and you would have thought that Ryan Miller was just horrible in that game.
He wasn't.
And he wasn't at all.
He better not get bashed for that loss.
No, there's no way. The last two games he played, he was actually really good. he made a lot of ridiculous saves, and he was making two, three, like the second, third, fourth save at times. Calgary just kept coming and coming, and
they just don't stop.
No, they don't stop at all.
They're like the ultimate working, like they're the ultimate working team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what everyone says, right? It's just you get a young team like that where they just
they don't
know any better. And I know that that sounds crazy to think like that, right? But it's true. You kind of, you know,
it makes sense. Though.
It does make
sense.
If
you know the, like, if you've never gotten your heart broken,
yeah, exactly, right.
You have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
You have no idea. You'll.
Yeah, that
you'll
hope is always there. It never really fades away. Yeah. We're gonna be fine. We can do this. And they do. They have. So that's what's going to be fun. That series with Anaheim and Calgary.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's
going to
be
this.
Fun because you know neither one of those teams is just ever going to go away.
And they're so different. They're such a differently built team.
Yeah, for sure.
Anaheim becomes automatic favorites, of course. But
yeah.
Anyways, going back to the Canucks.
Back to the Canucks.
Ryan Miller. Injured most of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least some of the year. Eddie Lack, supposed to be coming in and taking over. Didn't do it in the playoffs.
Good regular season. Yeah, really good regular season.
Good regular season.
But, you know, I mean, look, he's, you know, he's young, inexperienced goaltender in the playoffs. You know, that's not surprising, right?
No, he still played well, though, for a couple of games. Well
yeah.
enough.
I mean, yeah, he did. But his, you know, when I'm looking here at, like, goals, you know, I'm on NHL.com looking at the stats.
Yeah.
You look at goals against average, save percentage. You have to click.
He did
get
you got to
click on the next page to get to him. You know, I mean,
he's
way down there. Down there. I mean, if I just, let me do that. Hey, just for fun, hey. He is 22. His save percentage was .886.
These are the goalies in the playoffs.
These are the goalies in the playoffs that have appeared in the playoffs. And he is he played four games. His goals against was just over three. That's not horrible. But his save percentage was .886.
No, that's pretty bad. If you're over three, that's pretty.
No, it is bad for sure.
So there are 16 teams in the playoffs with 16 starting goalies. Quite a few teams have had their backups come in relief, and he's 22nd.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yep.
Okay, so he wasn't good this at all. I just, the illusion of winning one game.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
The illusion, like, yeah.
Yeah, there was that one game. I think it was game two. Vancouver won 4-1, right? And so, they pretty much owned that game. But I can't remember. I don't know how much work he had to do. I guess
so
we could
Ryan
look it
Miller,
up. But, yeah, we'll just move on.
Ryan Miller signed for two more years. Are you happy with that? If you're a Canucks fan?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's really the goalie that you really, really want. But
he's pretty good, though.
But he is pretty good. And I think, you know, if he's healthy...
that's a problem.
And like I said, even today, you watch that game and you showed, you know, you can see he sort of showed everyone that, hey, I can still play, right? You know, I'm still a pretty good goaltender. And like you said, if you just looked at that box score, there is no way in hell you would even consider thinking that he had a decent game. But he actually did.
Yeah, but this team's in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
This team is in a bit of trouble.
Well, they are.
Nick Bonino was a nice little pickup off that trade for Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, but, you know, a nice second, maybe third line centerman. Apart from that, they're riding Derek Dorsett and Sven, well, not even Sven Berchi, because he's played the AHL the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, then their D is still the same D that was...
It's, yeah, been there forever, it seems like. Yeah,
yeah, it's a bit like Bieksa, you know, Hamus Edler.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, man, they played Yannick Weber so much today. And if that's a guy you're writing, he's not a number one or number two. And if you're writing him, I understand why they were writing him. They needed some goals. But if you're writing him that much, that hard, I mean, he's going to cough up the puck. He's gonna make mistakes. And he did end up making a mistake, you know, one of the important goals, the going ahead goal. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, they
really don't have much left. They're an aging team, and they're not renewing the talent.
Well, there's just, yeah, there's not enough of it there. They have, like you said, you know, a couple good pieces. Maybe Eddie Lack really does turn into something. Bo Horvat looks like he's going to be a gamer, but...
Eddie Lack's, you know, got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I know, man. I look at that team, but I also just look at the Pacific Division. You know, you look at now, McDavid's going to be in Edmonton, and with Shirelli there, who is a good, you know, team builder, MacT is... You know, like, what did you say the other night? MacT time? Or who said that? No, I heard that somewhere else. I think that was on Merrick versus Wyshynski. Yeah, MacT time, yeah. Which now is very true because he's gone and Kevin Lowe's gone. So, you know, you got a guy in there that's going to really do something, not just talk about bold moves. He's going to... They did make a bold move, and that was... And it cost them, those guys, both their jobs. So... So anyway, I guess this is me being kind of long-winded here, but the point is the Pacific Division is only getting better, right? You still got LA, you've got Anaheim, who's proving to be a good team. Calgary, can they do it again next year? I don't know. You would hope that they'd be able to build on this. Edmonton, well, the one thing that's is not going to be a walk anymore. You know, Vancouver started their season, I think they played Edmonton quite a few times, really early on. And so, you know, they got quite a few points really early just by beating up on sort of a bad team. But I don't know, there's not really a bad team there anymore to beat up on, outside of, you know, maybe Arizona.
Well,
still.
Let's wait for Edmonton. Let's wait, because every year we say, oh, this is the year they finally go up and they go get over that first little bump.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
On the road. But until they do it.
Well, and I guess my point is, you know, it's not only McDavid. I think Peter Chiarelli, the new GM there, is actually going to go out and, I don't know, maybe try and get a defenseman or something.
He's not going to do anything. He doesn't even know who to trade right now.
No, he doesn't know that, but he'll figure that out come draft time. Yeah, you know?
I don't know. I think he's got to see these guys play a little bit more.
Everyone knows the story in Edmonton. These guys, you know.
But who do you trade between the top four? Like, who would you go? Hall?
No.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins?
Well, you don't trade Hall because then what's the point? You trade Hall and McDavid, and it's like, oh, like, I wish we had a young, fast
That doesn't mean that Hall will be able to play with McDavid, because nobody can play with Crosby. So looks like McDavid's a little more versatile the way he plays,
I'm pretty sure that Taylor Hall would be okay on Crosby's wing.
Yeah.
Call me crazy, but I think he'd be okay.
Man, he would look good. Yeah. He's fast too. Anyway, so is it Yakupov you're trading now?
No. I don't know. But my point is now, this is it. Okay, this changes everything. This isn't Yakupov number one or Nugent Hopkins. You know,
number one.
This is the guy. And now you have a GM in there that isn't a good old Edmonton boy, buddy, 1980s. Woo-hoo!
Not friends with any of the players. No, yeah. Didn't draft any
of
them.
And so I think there's going to be... This has got to be it. And if it doesn't happen now, it never will. It never will.
So if Chiarelli's coming in, last time he did this move, he brought a player with him. Who do you think he brings off of Boston?
Yeah, he brought a player with him. And that guy was kind of good.
A significant player, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he sort of pinches anyone off of Boston.
Well, because they're talking about Milan Lucic right now.
Yeah, that could happen.
That's a guy he's going to be bringing in.
I could see that. I could also see maybe a McQuaid, because I don't think McQuaid is going to be bad for Boston. He's
a UFA.
He's not a number one. He's not that kind of guy. But he's, you know, he's a guy
he's
like
a bottom pair.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. He is a
very
good stay-at-home defenseman. He's got experience, and you know, like the work ethic is there, right? Like on the ice, yeah. And that you see that with Edmonton, they're criticized.
But he's another bottom pairing guy. They need a top pairing guy.
Well, they need that for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, as far as potential guys that could end up there, I could see maybe that. Yeah, Lucic, that would be huge. But, you know, again,
but,
you're going to have to send
–
who are you going to send the other way, though? Yeah.
What do you need Lucic for?
I'm not saying they need him, but, yeah, that would be
a
big move.
They don't need Lucic. They don't need another top six winger.
Yeah.
What they need, they don't. I mean, Lucic brings a little bit of a different dimension to what they have right now, but it's not what they need. They need D. They need a goaltender.
But you're also going to – you know, the thing is, too, you're going to need someone there – Because if you think people are going to be, you know, super nice to this, you know, young Connor McDavid superstar, that ain't going to happen, you know.
Oh, Lucic won't fight. Come on. He hasn't fought in forever. He's never fought any... He's never gotten after anybody or anyone.
But I think if
apart from Komisarek.
But if that type of player were on Boston, I think, you know, Lucic would, you know, because what kind of guy is going to go after McDavid? It's going to be like the Steve Ott's and those kind of guys. And those are guys that I could see Lucic fighting, you know? But anyway, they got to consider that too, right? They got to consider. So that's why I can see maybe McQuaid as well.
McQuaid, I
don't think they'd even be on the ice at the same time, you know, because McQuaid isn't going to be able to get in the puck. But, you know,
McDavid might be playing 45 minutes a game.
Yeah, that's true. But,
you know, it'd be nice.
You know, you might have to have a guy out there that's, you know, just a little reminder, like, hey,
come on. I've got a bit of an idea, though. Do you know, it'd be nice just looking at Boston's cap situation right now. They're tight. They're very tight up against the cap. And there's a player that would look really good in Edmonton jersey that's on Boston right now. And all you'd have to do is send him an offer.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Dougie Hamilton. Yep.
Yeah, that's another guy. Why not offer sheet him? It's another conference. You're in Edmonton.
It's perfect.
Miles away.
You're screwing Boston.
Just do it. Yeah, just do it. Yeah, yeah.
They'd be really, really screwed if you went after Dougie Hamilton.
They just don't do it. They just don't do it. I can't remember. When was the last offer sheet? Was it the Shea Weber, the Philadelphia Flyers Shea Weber thing?
That was one. The one where Brian Burke freaked out about.
Yeah, but that was the last real big one, right?
Yeah, the last real big one was the Shea Weber one. And now it doesn't even look that bad.
No.
It looks like that was actually a pretty good contract to sign. Maybe not at the beginning, but right now, and for the 5 more years to go or whatever it is, it's a pretty great contract. Because Shea Weber is mint.
Yep.
That dude is a rock star on D.
Pretty good.
So why not? Offer sheet Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it. Do it now. Well, I don't know if you can do it now, but do it. Do it.
Oh, if you had him, and then if Darnell Nurse comes up and such turns into something. Yeah, you might, then you might be onto something there.
It's really a shite move to do, to offer sheet a player when the company's down, when the team is down, right? It's such a shite move.
Yeah, it is. But wouldn't it just be kind of interesting if the team that just fired you after you got them a Stanley Cup went to the final and you did something like that? Wouldn't that be fun?
And he knows exactly what the number would be.
He does. That's what I'm thinking too. He knows exactly what you would need to do to put that team in trouble. Yeah.
They screwed you. Do it.
Oh, I'd love to see that.